It's the Midnight Radio Network. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Carley. And look over there. That's Trooper Monty Dial. It is Ask the Law. Gary, how are you?
I can't complain. Great weekend, as always.
Yes, I spent it in bed. I have no idea what happened outside my bedroom. I really don't know. It's funny because I walked outside the house tonight, and it was really warm.
Yeah.
It was like 72 degrees, and I'm thinking, hold on a second. What happened? I thought we were... Oh, yeah, that's right. That was our winter in Texas, those 2 days last week when it was cold.
All of a sudden, the air conditioning came on today, and I was, what's going on? I know I don't have the heater even... You know, it's not even on the thermostat yet. It's not even on. So.
I've gone through and I did all the winter maintenance on both of my furnaces and everything a few weeks ago. They came on. They've come on a couple times. My wife said in the middle of the night, but I'm not there, so how would I know? All right, here we are. By the way, did the Cowboys play on Sunday?
Yes, they did.
And
they won.
They won.
They beat Seattle.
Okay, and Seattle's a bad team.
Seattle's a bad team.
Okay.
But they have two wins next. They got another one coming up next week.
Someone was saying that their schedule looks favorable over the next few weeks.
They play the Bills.
Yeah.
Wait
a minute. No. No, that's not favorable for the Cowboys.
Well, you didn't see yesterday's game.
The Bills game?
The Bills finally... The Bills had a game that mattered in November, the biggest game in a decade, and they never even showed up. I mean, it was horrendous.
What was the score?
27-11.
So what is their score? What is their record now?
5-3.
But
they're horrible. I mean, it's a typical Chan Gailey where Chan Gailey, it seems like he gets a team going, and then it's to a game that matters, and they fall apart completely. The play calling was horrendous. Everything was horrible. The Cowboys will win next week. I can almost guarantee it.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. Wow. You could. They're shot for the rest of the year.
Look.
I never had two
radio hosts who have zero confidence in each of their teams. Are you kidding? No way my team will win
Friday's,
next week. No
Friday's,
way my team will win.
I know Friday's prediction. It's like, no, you guys are going to
win.
No way. No, you are.
There's no way. Okay. So here we are. But we welcome you to Ask the Law for Monday, November 7, 2011. We are live with Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. He is retired now, which means he can grow a beard whenever he wants to. And he often does. In fact, he has in the last few minutes since we've started the show. Full beard in 3 minutes. It's brought to you by Old Blue USA, and we want to thank them for making this show possible for many, many years. In fact, we want to remind you that the information and answers are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. I'm all hopped up on cold and flu medicine, so anything I say cannot and will not be used against you in a court of law. 800-288-9227. If you want to get on board, if you have a question about CSA, maybe something happened with you drivers and you think, okay, hold on a second. I got stopped. I didn't get ticketed, but they did an inspection. How's this going to affect my CSA? Something like that. Hours of service. You know what? My dispatch is telling me this, and we actually operate this way. Get us the question. 800-288-9227. We have to start with the big elephant in the room, and that is the fact that they didn't get it done there at the FMCSA, and they did not issue on October 28th, as they promised the judge they would. This new hours of service final rule. So here we are.
I think we're probably going to be waiting till sometime in December.
I'm thinking probably December, could be January, but if you think about it, they issued the proposal. They come out December 23rd of 2010. That's the infamous moment where I was standing in the grocery store. And Lyndon Finney calls me and says, hey, did you hear? And then I called you at home. And of course, we came in and we did a live show then. And then they issue the proposed rule December 28th, just a few days later, or 29th. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know, that was done at a time when a lot of truck drivers are off the road. Now, I'm not saying they did this for one reason or the other. But they certainly, a lot of times, if an administration believes it's going to get a lot of negative media, they will announce a change, a rule, or whatever it is, a proposal, during the the quiet media times, and yes. you could put the week after Christmas right in that probably the quietest of all media times.
Yes.
I believe if they're going to do it, they would probably do it. In fact, we said something about a rulemaking one time about a proposal, and they did. They came out like right before a 4th of July weekend or something,
mm-hmm.
And they came out with something. I don't remember what it was, EOBRs or cell phone proposal or what it was. But they often do this. It's an administration that's trying to get away from the negative media, trying to get away from everything else. I talked with Governor Graves, who's the president and CEO of the ATA, at the ATA Management Conference and Exhibition here in North Texas just a few weeks ago. And he said they will not wait for these four legislators, a total of six legislators now that have written the president asking him not to change the hours of service rule. He has said they will not wait for that. Because Congress takes way too long for things, they will go to court immediately. So, and we have heard that.
Yes.
I don't remember if it was Barbara Windsor or who it was. I think it was Barbara Windsor who actually stood up at another session somewhere, and she said, "We will sue."
One in California.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was. It was in California, and I talked with Barbara as well. And that, again, they're not going to wait. And I don't think anybody expected them to wait. I don't think it doesn't matter which way this thing goes. If the administration doesn't change it, you're going to see more. If they come in and say, because they can do that to get you caught up. October 28th was the deadline for this final rule.
Yes.
It had not. We were at ATA Management Conference just a few days before that. And FMCSA Administrator Ann Farrow was there, and we were all asking her, are you sure you're going to get it by? Yes, yes, we still have October 28th as our deadline. Well, she wasn't about to say in front of all the media that it was, you know, that deadline had been moved, or we don't think we'll meet that deadline, because that could get them in trouble in court, certainly get them in trouble with a judge. So she kept saying that. They stood by that. We knew that there was no way it was going to happen because it had not arrived at the Office of Management and Budget at the White House. The OMB now has it. In fact, they received it the following Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They received the hours of service rule. They can take 60 to 90 days. Now, something that Gary and I have looked at, and I don't even know if there is a record of this, but what's the shortest amount of time the OMB has ever taken with any proposal or any final rule that's been any legislative item that's come across this desk? I don't think anybody knows.
I'm not aware of any. I know that this one, because of some of President Obama's actions, that they have to go in and look. One of the things that I think it's John Boehner wanted a special review on anything that was have a negative impact on any legislation.
Right.
Over $2 million
or $2 billion. Right.
And they're anticipating that going and changing a lot of them could have that effect.
Right, right.
So that's going to be one of the things that the OMB is going to have to look at, is if it does have a $2 billion impact, then this is going to go against what President Obama has in place.
And I think about the court order here, or the agreement with the judge that the FMCSA has on this. It was kind of a soft deadline, that mm-hmm. October 28th. It was an agreement that
right.
this is what we'll do. And so I think, if that happens, if the president comes out and says, you know what, we're not going to do this right now, we're certainly not going to do it when we're at 9% unemployment and the recovery just isn't happening, I don't want to do it before the election, he's probably going to want to get that out of the way
yeah.
of election year and say, let's put it on hold for now. In that case that he does not change it, I'm thinking to myself, within the boundaries of what the court asked the FMCSA to do, they have fulfilled that request.
Yes.
They have done their job. Mm-hmm. They went in and they came up with a proposed rule. The president, the administration, came in and said, you know, we reject it. But none of that plays into what the president does with it, what the OMB does with it, does not play into the courts. Because they are not under any order from the courts.
No.
So they actually, the FMCSA could be absolutely scot-free here, and this case could go away. Doesn't mean that another one wouldn't pop up. I suspect that Public Citizen, the Teamsters, and all of these other groups would stand up again and propose another, you know, and go to court again. I don't know I don't know what you do, you know, because it's obviously not going to happen. And even your court case could take, they could take a year or two.
Oh yeah, it could take another year.
Yeah, easily. So you have that situation, and now the OMB has the hours of service rule. If there is a change, I suspect they'll announce it probably in a quiet time. Could be somewhere like a Wednesday before Thanksgiving, or a Friday before the. At a 5 o'clock on a Friday, you know, for what? It was afternoon on December 23rd.
Yeah.
It was afternoon when it was released, when the first version of the proposal in 2010 came out. And then they had the NPRM a few days later. Well, now you have a situation where it could easily turn around and they say, okay, great, floated out there, you know, 5 p.m. at 4:49 on a Friday afternoon going into a holiday weekend, and they bury it in the headlines and nobody's paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the groups that have interest in this, like the ATA or Public Citizen or any of them, wouldn't be paying attention. It's just that there wouldn't be any action on it likely for a week or two.
Right.
Getting into the new year, then you've got to get into the court. You throw that out there, and it actually could be a fairly bold move. You throw that out there the week going into, let's say, the weekend going into Christmas break. Well, the courts are going to be clogged. If you file something, it's likely not going to make it until well after the first of the year.
Oh, yes, yes.
So then you've got that pushed back into, you know, mid-January before we even start discussing it, before the media even really starts discussing it.
Right.
All right, so if you want to get on board, that's where we are in hours of service. No rule change, no final rule yet. We expect that to happen, or something to happen by the end of the year. They have 60 to 90 days. And they got this at they got it on Halloween. They got it on October 31st, the OMB. And so if they take a 60 days, then by the end of the year, we could see something. They could take up to the end of January.
Sure.
You know, with this. So, we'll see. I suspect they wouldn't want to get it out there into primary season. You're talking the Iowa caucuses and everything else in January. You probably want to keep it away from that type of news, because this is something that easily a Republican candidate could pick up and say, this administration is trying to do this, they're trying to do that, and look how this is going to negatively affect the economy. We have put numbers to this, and this one rule change could do this. So there could be, again, a great number of very interesting things that happen with this. In fact, I think whatever happens, it's going to be interesting. So if you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you have a question about hours of service, if you have a question about CSA, any regulatory question you have, get on board right now. Trooper Dial is here. It is Ask the Law, and we'll get to your national forecast at 33 past.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, November 7, 2011. All the information and answers to questions can change without the notice, and we want to make sure that you know. You can go to the website, askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, and click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law anytime to submit your CMV questions. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. And we're known to have a few opinions here. If you want to get in, drivers, 800-288-9227. You have a question on CSA, maybe something happened to you. You got pulled over. You go through an inspection. They don't ticket you, and you're wondering if something is going to show up on your CSA. Let's go through that, 800-288-9227. Also, hours of service, a question there. Maybe your dispatch is telling you one thing, your company's telling you one thing, and you're confused about it. We can settle that confusion, as we often do here on the program, 800-288-9227. Also, we'll talk about something that we didn't talk about, I guess it was last month, was the idling laws in Texas that went into effect, Trooper Dial. These are go out of effect, I guess, in April.
Right.
And it's April through October, is it?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll talk more about those coming up here in just a few minutes. So stand by. If you've got a question, it is Ask the Law right here.
800-288-9227. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Carley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. It is Ask the Law for Monday, November 7th, 2011. All the information is up to date and can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We want to thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for making this show possible for many years. 800-288-9227. Let's get to your calls.
Let's talk to Mark in Nashville. Mark, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Pretty simple question for you. I took about a 5-year break from driving. Before that, I had driven about 14 years. My question is, what would be my best resource to go to get up to speed on all the new hours of service rules, laws, ATA laws, stuff like that?
Wow.
When did you start driving back, Mark?
Right about the 1st of October of this year.
Okay. And when was the last, what year did you last drive in?
2006. Yeah, 2006.
Hmm. You should have still, when you retire, you know, when you got out in 2006, you were already under the current hours of service. Nothing has changed since you left.
My dispatcher told me that, or one of the guys in the company, but
right.
I wanted to be sure,
yeah.
You know, and I've heard some new terminology, things of that nature, so there is
CSA. The way they keep track of items now is different. And if you can go to the CSA website, if you just type in CSA on any search engine, it will come up. But there are plenty of things to know there about basically how they're keeping track of the items on your driving record and how that can affect you.
Okay.
Ultimately, that's what I would do. I would look at CSA and get up to speed there. But Trooper Dial,
because see the rules that are in place now went into effect in January of 2004. They made one modification in 2005, and since then there has not been any changes to the hours of service.
Okay.
The CSA is a new way, like Eric was saying, a new way where the FMCSA tracks all roadside inspections. Under the old system, if you went through a roadside inspection, the only violations that affected the motor carrier's rating were violations that resulted in the driver and or vehicle being placed out of service. Under CSA, that changes to where now then all violations that show up on a roadside inspection affect the motor carrier's database.
Okay.
And if you go to CSA2010.com, CSA2010.com, You'll see all the stuff you need to know about CSA. They have a bunch of FAQs, and all the facts are there at that website. It's a great website.
Okay, great. Okay. I appreciate the information.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it, Mark. That's interesting, because if he had been out a few more years than that, then
yes,
obviously we'd be talking about some a much different hours of service rule. So it's, but I guess the only thing that would be different for Mark is maybe how his company is watching, keeping track of how their drivers are staying in compliance.
Right. And I think a lot of that here again is he needs to familiarize himself with CSA program,
mm-hmm.
Understanding what all he needs to make sure happens, that under the prior to 2006 when he went out, he may have done something one way. Now then, with CSA on board, he needs to possibly change and do something a little bit different to make sure that he is in full compliance.
Right. That's, I think, what's going on with drivers. And by the way, drivers, if you have a question, 800-288-9227, if there's something about CSA that you're wondering about, maybe, again, you were pulled over, there was an inspection, you weren't cited, but there was an inspection, and you want to know how that's going to affect your CSA, please let us know at 800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. Also, any hours of service questions, 800-288-9227. And, you know, it's interesting, if the last caller were starting even at the beginning of 2010, it would be a little bit different now, because they've kind of changed, I guess, the meaning of what CSA is.
Yes.
And it's now compliance, safety, accountability. That's what CSA stands for. So if you want to get in, 800-288-9227, it started out with comprehensive safety analysis.
Yes.
And it is now something, it's basically the same thing, but they went into a different mode. 800-288-9227 if you want to get on board. 800-288-9227. And also, if you've got a question about, you know, EOBRs or anything else, 800-288-9227. Let's get in. In fact, what we'll do is we'll get to a break and we'll line up some calls that are coming in right now and get to those calls next. Standby. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Hartley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is on board, and it is Ask the Law for Monday, November 7, 2011. All the information and answers to questions are up to date, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's get back to you at 800-288-9227.
We go to Scott in Little Rock. Scott, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
I've been over-the-road driver for about 6 years, and recently started driving a tanker truck local in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I had, when we see a set of blue lights on the side of the road, I typically merge to the left to go on around them. This was at about 6:50 p.m., dark, and as I approached the cars, they had a big truck pulled over in front of me. The blue lights are really bright. I seen a flashlight. I was running about 35 miles an hour because I was fixing to make my turn. And they were onto the right-hand side of the shoulder. As I get a little bit closer, I realized that they were trying to motion me to come in. I went ahead and pulled in. I never seen a set of scales that they had, and I ran over them. They wrote me a careless driving ticket, which is a 4-point on my record. I have never had a ticket. I play it by the book. Really careful. What can I do to help myself in this situation?
Where were they trying to direct you into?
They've got about a 250-foot area. Both the cars were parked to the far right, and there's a little pull-off, like on a standard exit, just the shoulder of a road. It's at Protho Junction in Little Rock.
and there are no signs indicating that the scales are up ahead?
There was no scales, no signs. That they had just pulled over to the shoulder and had the portable scales there. Both the gentlemen were standing towards the front of their cars. I barely seen their lights at all, the flashlight. All I thought was this trooper had someone pulled over. And like I said, I'm not familiar with this area, and from my understanding, they typically do that during the day, off and on there, after, you know, I've researched it a little bit.
Well, like I say, you know, you're allowed to contest, you know, take to court any citation that has been issued. And, you know, if you feel that the citation, you did not deserve it, then obviously you have the right to contest that citation in court. You know, whether or not you want to, you know, do it on your own, whether or not you want to hire an attorney, that's a decision that you're going to have to make.
Is there a protocol that they go by to have some sort of notification that there's lights that they are going to be weighing ahead of time down the road or something? You know, that way you can tell the difference when a trooper who you need to merge to the left for.
Good question. When they're using those portable scales, is there any kind of protocol that they will follow, or is that just voluntary?
Normally, when I was working, we never did set it up right on the side of the road. If we did set it up on the shoulder of the road, there were signs that were posted sometime as far as a mile back, you know, saying that the trucks need to move to the right. And but without any signs, and someone out there with the flashlight trying to flag you over, you know, I'm amazed at how they could sit there and issue the citation when, you know, how is the guy, you know, if their cars are parked at the scales, how are you going to get it shut down to, you know, to avoid running over the scales?
Right, because typically, if you weren't making that turn, you would have been running highway speed, right?
Yes, sir. I would have been running about 45 miles per hour, which is the speed zone through there.
Okay, so it would have been, you know, nearly impossible to make that stop in time. What, you know, it sounds like something you need to challenge, my opinion only, but it sounds like something you need to challenge, and you might be able to do this without a lawyer. There are plenty of lawyers that would take this on. They'll certainly take your money all day long. You might want to just point out the fact that there was no warning ahead of time, nothing posted ahead of time, and that as you were coming in, you weren't even able to see the scale. So you believe that the setup was improper to give you a fair advantage, you know, enough time to safely pull into that stop and pull up to that scale. You're saying you ran over the scale and didn't see it. Is that what happened?
Yes, sir. I broke the scales. Just absolutely did not see them. But I managed to get in and stop. You know, I really hate it for the gentlemen. I know they're out there to do their job, but I really feel that this ticket is not a...
Yeah, especially if they have their cars parked beside the scales.
Yeah. I would challenge it and just tell the judge exactly what you told us and exactly what the setup was. And I would, if it were me, I would challenge it, and I don't know that I would need a lawyer to do that. You just show up, and you tell the judge what happened. You say, you know, this is what happened, and I don't believe I was given a fair warning. I was running slower than normal because I was about to make that turn, but, you know, given that most trucks would be running at that speed zone of 45 miles an hour, it would be nearly impossible to safely pull into that stop given such a short notice when they were parked right at that point. I would start with that because the bottom line is the judge is going to tell you no, the ruling stands, and then you know you're not affected any greater than what you are now. So at best you could have this, you know, removed. So thank you for the call. We're up against a break here, but very interesting situation on how to challenge something that's happened to you. Drivers, if you have a question, get on board. It's Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.